This morning to Matthew chapter 24. Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another day of life, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we're thankful for your goodness to us, your love, your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, your kindness, dear Lord. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, who came to this earth knowingly that he was going to die. And dear Heavenly Father, he paid the price for our sins. He paid the price for us not to have to go to hell, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful we recognize that. We're thankful we have an understanding of salvation. And dear Lord, we ask you to help us, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, those of us that are sitting here at this very moment, dear Lord, to have a testimony that we're saved, that we have a relationship with Christ. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we have to finish the course. Dear Lord, that doesn't seal us, dear Heavenly Father. That doesn't guarantee us a spot in heaven. But dear Lord, we need to finish the course. We need to stay faithful, dear Lord. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So Lord, help us, dear Heavenly Father, to finish the course, to hear well done. Lord, we can't stop partially. We can't stop right at the end of the finish line, dear Heavenly Father. We have to cross that border, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, help us, dear Lord, as we gather together this morning. And dear Lord, each and every time we get together, dear Lord, we're here for a purpose. Dear Lord, we're here to receive that which you want for each and every one of us to have. And dear Lord, regardless of how many people there are in this audience this morning, dear Heavenly Father, every single soul can receive some type of different thought, dear Lord. Dear Lord, even though the message may be just a general thought, and we may bring some thoughts, dear Lord, but every single one of us, dear Lord, there's something that we can receive that can be a blessing to us, that can be an encouragement to us, dear Lord, that can be something that we're battling throughout our days, that can just give us comfort in whatever way you will help us, dear Lord. So we ask you to go with us, dear Lord. We're thankful for the Word. We're thankful for the Spirit. We ask you to anoint the Word. Anoint me that I'll bring it as you would have us to, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 24, we're going to pick up in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and of rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. I want to deal with a question this morning and ask you a question. Do you know truth? You know, Sister Ann asked for some of the things that we are thankful for. And I thank God that we can have a desire to know truth. And we need to understand that very thought, because we're going to go through some thoughts this morning, but to have a desire to want to know truth, that seems to be an odd question or an odd thought. But in reality of many people, they may say they want to know truth, but they really don't want to know truth. That's why these pews are empty. There are many people that are in their homes this morning and doing other things this morning other than sitting in the churches or sitting in, under the sound of the gospel, because they want to reject or they don't want to be subject to truth. They really, truly don't want to know truth.
You know, sometimes people have the idea, if I don't know, and that can be in a general broad statement, if I don't know truth, I'm not held accountable or reliable or responsible. That's not true.
Amen.
Just because you are ignorant, and there are, the Bible doesn't even have a verse, I don't have that down, that says, the Bible says that men are willfully ignorant. Yeah. They are willingly desiring to know, not know truth. And that's the way a lot of people are, whether they believe it or whether they want to accept it or not. But do you want to know truth? And that's the question for this morning. Do you have a desire for truth? You can hold your finger here, and I'm going to come right back here. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 and verse 14 talks about the putting on the armor of God. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I brought messages before, and very many times I brought that thought about the entire army of God, or the entire armor of God. He says, put on the entire armor of God. He cannot allow us to just put on a piece or two, or carry a shield or a sword or a helmet or just one or two pieces. He says, I need you to put on the entire armor of God. And the very first part that he says there, that he makes a comment there, is truth. And some years ago I brought a message about it, and it just really struck to my heart and mind. You know, if we don't have the desire for truth, there's no use of us going any further. Because at the very beginning of salvation, to recognize that I'm a sinner. That's truth. Jesus sends a preaching, sends the Spirit of God, deals with our soul, recognizes that I'm a sinner, that I'm on my way to hell, and if I don't repent and accept Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm not going to make heaven. We must face that truth. Amen. And when we get saved, God puts a spirit within us to have a desire to want to know truth.
Amen.
True. We must. We must have a desire to know truth. We can't hide from it. We cannot be saved and want to reject a part of any type of truth of the Word of God. It's a needful. Pilate asked a question one time when Jesus stood before him. What is truth? They delivered Jesus to Pilate. You know the story. They delivered him to Pilate, and Pilate asked the question, what is truth? They accused Jesus of many things. One thing Jesus told them one time, and I went back and read it a little bit this morning. One time Jesus said to them, and you know they had the temple there that they worship, and he was dealing with them and things, and he said, destroy, and as I read it, and he says, destroy this temple, meaning himself. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I shall rise it up. And when they brought him before Pilate, they had someone come in, and he said he would destroy the temple, and in 3 days he would raise it up again. Well, that was true. What he said was 100% true. And when they crucified Jesus Christ and they put him in the grave, 3 days he came back to life. He wasn't talking about a literal temple that they had made that it took them over 40-some years to build or whatever it was there. He wasn't speaking of that. But see, they couldn't comprehend. They couldn't gather truth. And one of the things I mentioned a lot of times in the Word of God, Jesus gave them parables to confuse them sometimes. Because people that have a desire for truth, people that want truth, people that have a longing for truth, I want truth above all things. I want to know the things of God. They will seek out the truth that Jesus speaks. But those that don't, those that want to be deceived, maybe not say that audibly in a sense, but they in their mind they're going to be deceived. Jesus will let you be deceived. I remember when I was first saved, I wasn't saved too long, within a couple years at the very most. And I remember Brother Davis preaching the message. I can remember it just as plain as day. And he was preaching the message, and he says, you know what? If we don't obey the things of God, if we don't have a desire for truth, I don't remember the exact wording or how he put it, it's the main thought here. If we don't have a desire for the things of God and the desire for the truth of God, God will allow us to be deceived. Anybody understand that? God can allow you to be deceived. That's a scary thought. And when he said that, that thought came to my mind. I said, Lord, help me. You know, we can deceive ourselves. Other people can deceive us. But when God deceives us, I don't know if there's any comeback from that. I don't know if there's ever a time that we can repent and come back. God can allow us to be deceived because of rejection of truth. They brought Jesus there, and they brought people, and they lied to him and things, and all kinds of different things. And Pilate asked, what is truth? People are still walking around the same today. What is truth? And you know, in our world today, you know it and you can see it. It's a fearful thing that people don't even know the basic things of truth. I'm not talking about the things about. They want to reject what's morally correct and standard. I mean, they do. I'm not talking about the things of the Bible. I'm just talking about the morally standards. They reject it. They don't even have a clue. They don't have any idea. And if you bring it over to the Word of God, what is truth? You know, some people in our world we see today believe in conspiracy theories. I guess most of you have heard of some of them. And I know several people that are involved in them, that believe in them. And what is amazing to me is they come up with certain things, certain conspiracies, and I'm certain many of you heard people with conspiracy theories, whether it be the government or whether it be an asteroid hitting us, whether this happening, catastrophes or whatever. They're conspiracies. They're things that they bring up, and some people believe what other people say, and they'll even promote those things, and they'll say, this person said this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen on this certain date. And you know what? It doesn't happen. A week or a month later, well, this person said this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen, and it doesn't happen. And I'm thinking to myself, how foolish are you to continue to listen to someone after they tell you and you believe it, and it doesn't happen time after time after time after time after time, but people still believe it. Tell them in the Word of God that we need to repent, accept Jesus Christ as Savior to make heaven your home. I'm not believing none of that. But they'll believe something. The Bible even lets us know. They said if a prophet were to prophesy something and doesn't come to true, mark him as a false prophet. Don't listen to him anymore. But people keep following them. Jesus let us know that we need to endure until the end. I've been prayed that little thought this morning. We need to endure until the end. That's part of truth. Many times have you ever seen any type of race? It could be a car race. It could be a foot race. And I seen one not too long ago. I don't know what I was seeing it on, but usually don't pay attention to them. Might have been an ad or something. I don't know what it was. But these people were in a foot race. And the one person was a good bit ahead. You know, another person was coming up, and they were getting ready to come to the finish line. Just getting ready. And the person that was ahead, the other person was catching up just as they got to the other person, and they were ready to cross the finish line. This person tripped and fell, and that person went across the finish line, and they never did cross the line. All that race, they got right there within a foot of the end, and they didn't cross the line. They were almost ready to be first, and I don't even know if they even made second or third or fourth. We need to finish the race to win the prize. We can never come to a place. I've been living for the Lord for 40, 50 years or 20 years. I've been doing well and I'm doing good. I'm okay. I can just cruise. There's never a cruise button on salvation. Jesus says you must endure until the very end. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 10 through 12. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works are therein shall be burned up. Now, that's not a parable, or it's not a revelation of things in a sense like back in, I mean, that's easy to understand. The day of the Lord. The Lord's coming another one of these days.
And when he says a thief in the night, that means unaware. He'll come unaware. We're not going to be standing there and see something coming. And, you know, Jesus talked about him. He's told them, I think Nicodemus, he was talking to Nicodemus. And when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again, Nicodemus didn't understand this. Later on, he told Nicodemus, he goes, you can discern the skies. You can look at the skies and say, a certain type of sky is going to be a nice day tomorrow. Another type of sky is going to be bad weather tomorrow. It's going to be unfair. You can discern the sky. And that's not the way that Jesus said he's coming. You're not going to be able to look up and say, you know what? He's going to be here tomorrow or next week or within a couple hours. He says the day of the Lord has come as a thief in the night quickly and with no warning. And he says that when this happens, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Whatever we're thankful for, it'll be gone. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for my job, for my family. I'm thankful for my life. That'll be gone.
Amen.
When Jesus comes. In verse 11, it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for, verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire and be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The day of the Lord will come. Are we ready? Do we recognize that? Do we understand that it'll come quickly? We talked last week about the goodness and the severity of God. The severity of God, it ends quick. It comes quickly. He says, in the heavens and the earth and the works all there shall be melted and shall be burned up. I'm reading these things are basic truths. Do you believe them? I mean, we need to have a belief, not just, yeah, I believe. We need to have a fear. And when we understand that God's coming today, Lord, I need to make sure today I'm ready. I need to make sure things are well with me. I know we don't walk around in a constant fear, worried. But there needs to become a time, make sure things are well. And dear Lord, I want the truth in my life. I want to know the truth and understand whatever the ability you give to me. I want to be ready today. That's the fear, that part of it. You know, there's a teaching out there of purgatory. There's no truth in that. You know how many people are banking on that there is a purgatory? People believe that there's going to be a rapture, that so many people are going to be taken. You've seen bumper stickers that it says, when the rapture comes, this car is going to be unmanned. When the rapture, hopefully it never happens, but when the rapture comes, this plane will have no pilots.
Pilots completely.
Planes will fall out of the sky because there's no pilots. Cars will crash because a portion of people will be taken up into heaven. There's no truth in that. The Bible says when he comes again, all things will be melted. All things in the earth. Many times people, there's teachings and believing that the battle of Armageddon that talks about in Revelation, that's somewhere in the future. We've been in the battle of Armageddon from the time of the beginning of time. Our battle of Armageddon is a spiritual battle, a right against wrong. That's what that battle's about. And I thank God it's not a physical battle, a warfare battle. Me and Brother Rob were talking about that a little bit this morning. We're not in a battle against swords and weapons and armor. It's a spiritual battle.
Amen.
Against righteousness and unrighteousness.
Amen. It's true.
I believe when the Lord comes, there will be a beginning of the day of judgment. And many false truths, all these false truths, they're taught by false teachers. And Jesus talked about them. Jesus mentioned them about them. Back where we were in Matthew chapter 24 there at the beginning of scripture, Jesus talked about him in verse 5. Jesus says here, for many shall come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, this is the last times. And as if we have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last times. Now, what's he mean in the last times? Well, that's a whole message in itself, but we're in the last days, from the time of Christ all the way to the now. These are the last times. There's no more revelation, there's no more light, there's nothing else that's going to come about. But he says there, even at this very time, John says, even at this time, there are antichrists. What is an antichrist? An antichrist is someone that teaches anything other than the gospel of Christ. Jesus said one time, there are people that are trying to climb up a different way. I mentioned to you purgatory a little bit ago. There are people just relying on purgatory. There are people believing that Christ is going to come back and set up a kingdom here, and he's going to start things over or whatever. I'll get another chance. When Christ comes again, there are no more chances.
Amen.
We'll be standing before the judgment of God. And many false teachers, as he said here, right now there are many antichrists. Everybody, and they were there then teaching something other than the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and we have them today. There are people, there are men and even women out there that are teaching something less than holiness. That's what they're teaching. You can make it to heaven living less than really what Christ told you to live as. I'll never challenge anybody to listen to them, but every once in a while you get a chance to listen to them. Listen to them with an ear of criticism and match them up with the Bible. Many times what they have today out there, people that want to tell jokes, they want to tell things that are, the Bible even says that, things that are easy to listen to, but to tell people they're living in sin, and they need to repent and live free from sin, that's not heard of. Amen. Jesus says, back in his time there were antichrists. Adam Clark says, any person, thing, doctrine, system, or religion, political organization, unit, which is opposed to Christ and the Spirit is an antichrist. Anyone or system that teaches other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times people want to, you know, on our Revelation chart here, we have a lamb with some horns on it. And that's a symbol of a false religion. And what it is, Jesus Christ is recognized as the Lamb of God. And they want to take a little bit of Christ. They want to take that so they're not rejected, but they want to add their own interpretation on it, or add things to it.
Yes.
We want Christ, but we want to do it our way. We want to draw people to our way. We want to bring people to our way. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 says, though we or an angel, this is Paul speaking here, he says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Yes.
So when I mention what is truth and do you have a desire for truth, do you study truth? You know, all of us are involved in something in life that we're well seasoned with. Not in particular, but you know, you're very familiar with, you know. You know, Brother Danny likes to build things and stuff like that, and working with his hands and things. And some of you may like to cook, or some of you may. I've seen a couple little funny things. This recent one, I've seen them over the years, but of course they always put them out during the holidays. At the first time I seen it, I'm like, what in the world is that? It was a dish that somebody made, but then you had to read the caption. But this one that I seen the other day, it was like, what it reminded me of is like a fruitcake, is a sort of a jello. It was in a round bowl, a round dish there. It was made like a cake. It was a jello, but inside of it was nothing but hot dogs, all wrapped around it, not on a piece of fruit here, and I'm like, but then I remembered from seeing it a couple years ago, they said, make this for Thanksgiving dinner, and they will never ask you to bring a dish again. You know, some of you know how to cook really well, and when someone were to, like I said, bring that, you were like, what in the world is that? You know, you recognize it's something that clicks just right off the bat. You know how to put a window in, and you know how to build a framework, you know how to lay a foundation. There's some things that you know in life, and when something is unusual that you are very familiar with, it's just like that. You recognize it. You say that's not right. That's not going to work. Well, we need to have a desire for the truth of the Word of God and to know the Word of God, so where when someone preaches something other than Jesus Christ, it recognizes it right away. Paul says here, he says, if someone comes and tries to teach you something that I've taught you, something different that I've taught you, Paul said, he goes, of me, or he was even so confident that he was bringing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he goes, though an angel from heaven, that's how much assurance he was putting on his preaching and his confidence of the gospel, what he was telling people, if an angel of heaven came and taught you something other than I am teaching you, disregard it. Don't listen.
Amen.
Come down and tells you, you can make heaven. The way to make heaven, you need to be baptized. Well, baptism is a part of it, but that's not salvation. You know how many people have a certificate somewhere that says, I've been baptized. I was 2 years old, I've been baptized. I was 10 years old. I was 50 years old, I've been baptized. Tear it up and throw it away, throw it in the fire. It's of zero benefit. You need to be saved. You need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you of sin and have a desire to leave the things of sin and have a desire for the truth of the gospel of Christ. That's how to make heaven. We read verse 8. We'll read it again and tie in 9 and 10 with it. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which have been preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. For do I not persuade men or God? Do I speak to please men? For if I please man, I should not be a servant of Christ. Mm-hmm. How many people are out there doing their best to gather a gathering to themselves? There are some men out there and women out there. They're very well spoken.
That's true, yes.
And they are enjoyable to listen to. I mean, they have education, they have some background as far as history, and they can just put things in order, A, B, C, D. Sounds good. But Paul says here, he said, I'm not doing it to draw men to me. I'm doing it to draw men to Christ. I need to point men to Jesus Christ. That's who I need to point, not to me. Not to me. And if I do that, make it a curse to send me away. Do you know truth this morning? The truth is not what you believe it to be. Understand that. The truth is not what you believe it to be. You know, there are some people that they're their own salvation. Well, I believe this is, I believe if I do good, I believe if I don't hurt anybody, I believe if I do it this way, I can sit at home and read my Bible, I can sit at home and pray, I do good to people, I pay all my bills, my taxes, I'm a good person, I should make heaven. There was a man came to Jesus, rich young ruler. He said, Lord, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? He said, do all these things. He said, I've done all these things from my youth up. What do I lack? Rejecting being in the services of God, you reject truth.
because you're not subject to the preaching of the Word of God. I've said it many times, and I've heard it many times, and I just prayed a little bit this morning too, because I know it. It's just as truth as I can be. There are so many times people have came to me or mentioned to me, or I've heard them say other times that they were in a service, and I may have been preaching a message. I'll give you an example one time, because I know it wouldn't bother her at all. Sister Ellen, many years ago, you know, many of you may have known Sister Ellen had some cancer many years ago, and from what I remember, during that period of time, she was always, I think it may have been after she was, when she was in remission, and she was thanking God and giving God praise, and she was doing it often, you know, often. And I didn't know that. I had no idea. I came in and I preached a message for revival or whatever it was I was preaching, and I made the comment that we should never get tired or make the enemy allow us to think we're tired for thanking God for the good things that he'd done. For God's healing me, for God's blessing me, whatever. Don't ever get tired of thinking God. The people are tired of hearing that. God, we need to continually to give God the praise. She came to me later and she says, how about that? I've been fighting that battle. I've been giving God praise. And she says, the devil's saying, you've said it enough, be quiet. See, I had no idea. Now I don't even think that was a part of my message. But see, somewhere, and that was a good response, a good thing, but it was a help, it was an encouragement. If she hadn't been coming to church or whatever, she may not have heard that encouragement that God gave to her. The same way, people that don't want to hear to sit under the sound of the gospel, God cannot help them to hear what they need to hear for correction, for help, for encouragement, whatever. But people can be their own salvation. Pilate one time, as he does again the same time with Jesus, Pilate came to a point and he washed his hands of this innocent man. People wash their hands of the gospel of Christ. I don't need it. Do away with it. Jesus even told the disciples, as I said, what is truth? Do we know truth? Do we, and this is an important thought here to help us all, Lord, here. Jesus told the disciples, you remember the time when he told the disciples, he goes, I got to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. Peter was one that was very vocal. Peter said, far be it, Lord, you're not going to die. Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Amen. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen, Lord. I will die with you, Lord. And I believe Peter meant that with all his heart. And I believe there's a verse in there that says, as so the other disciples said the same thing, we'll die with you.
Yeah.
But they had no idea what was about to happen. They didn't have any idea. See, we don't know what's going to happen. God lets us know in the Word of God, he is going to try us as gold. Amen. He's going to put us in the fire. He's going to see if we're going to come out, if we're going to stay in the fire and be purified by God. And when we come out the other side, we're going to be pure. And that's what he desires us to have, to make heaven our home. He's going to see what's going to happen. And he is going to allow you and I to go through circumstances or situations that we are completely unaware of.
Lord help.
Peter says, it ain't going to happen, Lord. But see, they didn't know the full plan of salvation. They didn't know the plan that Christ had. And when they came and they took Jesus Christ and they led him away, their world was shattered. They had no idea what is happening. And they were fearful. They all scattered. He says, when the shepherd is taken, the sheep shall scatter. They all scattered. We see Peter later on. He separated himself from Christ. He cursed. He swore. He said, I don't even know the man. Thank God that he went out and he repented. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. And he repented. Thank God for that. Thank God for his mercy. And I imagine that had to break Peter's heart to do that. We don't know. See, when I say, what is truth? We'll read here in a little bit here. Christ is truth. And we need to have faith and confidence and just trust in Him. Whatever direction He sends us, and whatever road He sends us, to have confidence that Christ is doing the benefit for our well-being, for our salvation.
Amen.
Should we believe what people tell us about Christ? You know, sometimes people can come up with a pretty good argument sometimes. And many times people always come up with different questions of the Bible. They want to debate. And sometimes we need to ask the Lord to help us. Sometimes some of the things that people come up with, we need to know the truth of things. Now, they don't really want to know the truth. They just want to use it as a crutch to help them get by. But we need to know the truth. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
That's truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a verse in the Bible that says God is true and every single man is a liar. We need to know that God is true. He is truth. And He says in this verse of Scripture, He goes, no man shall see the Father, no man shall be able to come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. I already quoted you to one verse of Scripture. Anyone that climbs up a different way is a thief and a robber, and he shall not enter in. Jesus said, I'm the way. I always like that thought. I've used it many times and many thoughts of my own self. You know what? If I want to get into that room over here, this way, I can't. There's a wall here.
I have a door.
You know, life is that way. Sometimes I don't know how to get where I need to go. I don't need to know how to get the request or the burden that I have. I'm at a dead-end wall. Jesus says, I can make a way. I'm not only the way, but I can make a way. When it doesn't seem to be a way, God says, I'll make a way. Children of Israel stood before the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army come. They had no way out. God said, stand still, I'll show you the way. I'll make a way. I'll provide a way for you, thank God. Amen. God is true. And by faith, when we hold on to that, to the Christ, Lord, I don't know which way to go. Sometimes we have to do that. I don't know to go left, right, straight, forward, backward. I don't know which way to go, Lord. The Bible says sometimes just stand still. God said, just stand still. I'll make you a way. I'll provide a way. I'll take care of some things. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We cannot see the Father without Him. You know, every single one of us in this room and every single person upon the face of the earth is following a way. And there's two only. You're either following the way of Jesus Christ or you're following the way to destruction. You're on the broad way, you're on the straight and narrow way, or you're on the broad way. It's only two ways. There's not a quarter way, a half way, there's not some way in the middle. You're on one of two sides. Jesus said over there in Revelation, He says, I'd rather you be hot, be on fire for God, get in this battle, stay in this battle, learn the truth, have the desires and the things of God, get on fire. Or I'd rather you get cold. And recognize that you're not saved. But Jesus says there, He goes, there's too many people that are lukewarm. You know where lukewarm is? It's a middle ground. But He also says, if you're in that lukewarm place, He will spew you out. You're not in the righteous way. Some people get on fire for God and they come lukewarm. They aren't on fire like they were once more or one time. The truth isn't as vibrant as it was. Their love for the things of God weren't as vibrant, and they became lukewarm. God says, I'll cast you away. We need to be on fire. You're following some way. You know, you take a road trip. Ever take a road trip and pass your exit.
Exit, yeah.
Boy, that's a feeling, isn't it? And especially back before GPSs.
Right.
I don't mind it too much today because it'll reroute you and fix you up right away. I might have to go down the road 5 miles. I don't know, but before GPSs, I'm like, ooh, boy, I don't have any. You're in another area. I don't know where I'm going. Hopefully, I go down here and get an exit and get back home and go back way. Hopefully. I remember one time I was in Hagerstown. I was going there to preach, and I always like to get there extra early. And I got there extra early, and I went down to the McDonald's. Most of you know where that is down the road there. I stopped in there, grabbed a little something to eat. So when I came out, I must have been earlier on, but I wasn't real familiar with everything. And I came out, and I made a left. And then I went out and made another left at a red light. Next thing I knew, and I'm like, I don't have any idea. Where am I going? So I made a right. I'm like, because I looked up that way, I could see it was highway. I'm like, well, this looks like just sort of country road here. I go down here, and I went, and I'm like, there's nowhere to turn around. Finally, I was able to turn around, and I had time, thank the Lord, but I didn't have a GPS. Man, my stomach, I started getting nervous. You know, there's some people, they're on the wrong way, and they're not offended. They're not nervous. They're not upset. They just keep on going the wrong way. Help us, Lord, to get on the right way. To know when I'm on track, to know my destination is there and I'm on track is a good feeling. Thank the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
GPS, you look down there and it says you got a half hour, 20 miles or whatever to get there, and you're just stay on this road. Thank God. Well, Jesus Christ says, follow me. Follow me. Love me. Care for me. Follow my directions and I'll get you to make heaven my home. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Many times people are following different people, other people. They're following traditions. You know, that's a hard one. There are people that will die under a tradition that is not right. My grandfather was in this church. My grandmother was in this church. My grandfather was a preacher. Well, certainly that must make me able to go to heaven. I've told you that before. Someone told my wife one time, because I'm a minister, they said, you've got it made. I thought, how sad. Let's go to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just a couple more verses of scriptures. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know what it means to have a love for something? It's a passion. A longing. A desire. Because they receive not the love of the truth. Strand said things we're thankful for. I'm thankful that I have a love for the truth.
Yes.
A desire for what Christ wants for me. A desire for the good things. A love for the truth. Do you have a love for the truth? You have a love for the Word of God. What do you have? What do you have in here? What is in here, Lord? What do you have for me? Desire. I want this. A passion for the things of God. Look over another verse of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 3. I wrote this down as I was studying this morning. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3, it says there, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And he says there, bind them about thy neck. And write them upon the tables of thy heart. Bind them. Hold them tight. Verse in the Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. Get a hold of truth. Have a desire. Don't let it go. Hold tight to it. There are people in the past that at one time they held for truth. They preached truth. Today they're not holding to that any longer. Well, you preached that years ago. I know they don't believe it no more. He says there in Proverbs, he says,
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Do you know truth this morning? Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ is the way to make heaven your home. You know how many people have been deceived of that? Have been talked out of that? Well, I understand Christ is the way, but there's nothing else you have to do first. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tables of thine heart. Do you know truth this morning?
Thanks, God.
Do you love truth?
Yes.
You know, when I build a transmission and it doesn't work, there are some times we never do find out what's wrong with it. Sometimes it could be a part of the unit that is warped that we don't ever know. And sometimes we just have to get another unit. But I truly, diligently try to find out what is wrong with the unit. And when we find it, we say, hey, that's what the problem was. It's a comfort. We fix it, we put it in, it works great. We try to learn from it. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it was, I don't know, whatever. It could have been many things. But I work with people. I worked with one man one time. The owner told me, he says, when he hired him, he says, I don't know, we'll give him a whirl. He said he's never had a comeback. We both rolled our eyes. What a comeback is, you build it and it doesn't work, or it comes back the next day and something you've done wrong. He's never had one. See, he doesn't know the truth. He hides from truth. I don't know if they even do it. Actually, this might not even be a truth, but I think I heard it. The old saying is, ostriches stick their head in the sand. I don't know if that's actually a fact. I don't think they do. But people want to hide from truth. I really don't want to know truth. I don't want to be held accountable for knowledge of truth. Help us, Lord, to love the truth of Jesus Christ. There's a song in our songbook, and it says, God's way is best.
Amen.
And there's a verse in there that says, God's way is best, even though if human wisdom show a fair way to go.
Yeah, it's true.
That is true.
Absolutely.
This seems to be a better way, Lord. This really seems to be the best way. God says, no. I need you to do this way.
Yes, every time.
My family, Lord, I know. I know you love your family, but this is the way you got to go. This is what you have to do to make heaven. Your family has to become second in life. Your family has to be put on the back burner, so to speak. Your job has to be put on the back burner, so to speak.
Amen.
Your life has to be put on the back burner. Amen. Your life has to be put on the back burner. God has to be first.
Amen.
Can't I just squeeze you in here and there? No. I'll be first in your life or I won't be a part of your life. And if I'm not first in your life, you cannot make heaven your home. That doesn't seem to be fair. So every of you said this morning, thankful for family. We're all thankful for family. We love them. But Jesus told them one day, he says, except you're willing to forsake your mother, your brother, your father, your sister, children,
Amen.
And your own
Amen.
Life also, you cannot be my disciple.
Yes.
I thank God he doesn't mean you get rid of them. You love them, you care for them. It's church time. I need to be in the house of God. I need to spend time with God. I need to give God honor first. I love my family, but the things of God need to be more important. Do you have a desire for truth this morning? May the Lord bless you. We'll have a song.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 161. 161. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Now I behold her.
I am declared.
Hold me and mend me after thy will. Why I am waiting. You did and still have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Search me and try me, master to play. Whiter than snow, was made just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power of power, surely thy. Touch me and heal me. Faith in divine. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Although my being absolutely sway, fill with thy spirit, till heart shall say, Christ only hope.
Might have a seat for just a moment, please.